You guys feel that when the Hawks win like that? 30 points? 32 points on the scoreboard between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Wisconsin Badgers? The Heartland Trophy stays in Iowa City 3 in a row, 4 of the last 5. A complete domination at night in Kinnick. Should we have expected anything less? Brendan Sullivan, dazzling. Lots to talk about on the walk-ons. Let's have a day. Let's go. Politics.
I was just saying, no, we're not doing this. Is the
Grant?
I'm not doing it. No. I'll kneel out the clock already.
Watch
11 seconds in.
Welcome into the washed up Republican Bob.
We're not doing this.
Grant is super super uncomfy because I was like, let's talk about Peanut the Squirrel and just your latest, I don't know. Do they cook up these stories? Do they not? I'm looking at the Google home screen on my other page right now, and it says vote. Dude, I'm done with politics. I'm done. You don't have to say it.
I just said we didn't have to talk about it. That was
no. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave it here. This podcast is going to come out. What is Election Day? Tuesday. So the 5th. And I don't know how much longer the BS will roll on after that. BS, I'm talking like just tons of commercials. I had 42 pieces of mail in my mailbox today. Two of them were relevant to me. The other, everything else was about how every political person is just trash. They're horrible people. Mm. It is funny to me that people buy into the presidential thing so much, and it's like, hey, guess what? You're getting played. Both sides, you're getting played. You think this one person is going to change it all, or this one party is going to ruin the world or make the world all of a sudden? But like, it's not. It doesn't happen. It never happens. You're getting played. Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We'll talk football now. Something that Grant is much more in favor of.
I'm always pro football. I'm much more in favor of. I will vote for football every single time.
No matter. I feel like that's a good platform to stand on.
My platform is football. Yeah, that's what I'm running under. It's just I'm going to show up to one of the primary debates, and every question is football.
G-Bone 2028. I stand on football. Whatever happened? What happened in the end of that that Rice Navy game?
Oh, Rice just kind of took it to him, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Yeah. It was only it was kind of interesting just because it was a weather delay forever. That's why it got pushed back so late. I think it was supposed to start like in the afternoon slate, but it took forever to get the rain delay. So
it didn't finish till like 11 p.m.
So. Yeah, but no, Navy, unfortunately, they do still have a path to the American Conference Championship. So Army-Navy Conference Championship game is still alive. It could still happen. But the Navy to the playoff is unfortunately quite dead.
Yeah, Navy took a dive these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, not great. But hey, you know, Rice, that's a big win for them. I don't want to diss the Owls either.
I'm a big fan of any school that uses the Owls. Rice.
Just like all Owls. Kennesaw State.
FAU.
FAU Owls.
Yeah.
Temple.
Yep.
I'm sure it was an FCS school out there. Also
Owl adjacent podcast. Sure. Speaking of Army.
Okay.
Let's bring up those awards winners from this past weekend.
Okay. Getting into it quickly. We're already into the betting material.
I just wanted to roll through it. There's plenty more, Grant. We're going to talk about Kamala later. But yeah, I mean, it's tough when the segment's named after you and you don't show up. But Kevin, Minnesota, Illinois under. Mm-hmm. What did that game end up?
That went under. So Kevin went 2-1.
Okay. So, and he got the Ohio State, Penn State under.
Oregon was so close to not covering. And they respected the spread a lot. Dan Lanning just.
Yeah, he punched it in with like 20 seconds left, didn't he?
Yeah. So that was, I don't know if, I wish Kevin was here, but I'd be curious to see if he was falling to the very end there. But
well, I know he was at the game with Bo.
He was at Oregon. Michigan?
Yes. He went to Oregon, Michigan out in.
I don't know. He likes football. He could be there.
Could be. Would definitely be Kevin move to show up in Eugene and not to our virtual podcast.
I think it was in Ann Arbor, but that would be.
Was it in Michigan? Was it Michigan? Okay. Regardless, he would go to Michigan before he'd show up to a virtual podcast on the weekend. Sure. 2-1 for Kevin. Kevin's doing well. You know, he had that hot start. I think he was like 7-0.
Yeah, I was gonna say it would have taken a lot. I think he went like 8-0-1 to start the year or something like that. It would take a big meltdown for Kevin to end this season under 500 here.
And then, 23-13-1. So great stuff out of him. On my end over here, we started hot. I'm telling you, you just ride the horses that win your races, right? And
or you mean Broncos that win your races?
Well, there you go. Boise State gets it done. I think they end up winning by like 30.
Yeah, it was good.
Ginty.
I have some Ginty stuff for later.
Yeah, and I've got some Caleb stuff. I think there's a debate brewing.
I did some stat compiling.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Ginty, great running back. I believe he had two touchdowns the other day. One of them was a garbage time touchdown when they were up 30 already. But another great day for him. I think 132 touchdowns, very similar day to Caleb Johnson against Wisconsin. More might just be the Caleb Johnson show from here on out and maybe until the draft. So that was 1-0. Penn State couldn't get it done for me, and this was unfortunate because they were first and goal at the 2.
They were also second and goal.
And third and goal. And fourth and goal. They had themselves a Iowa State moment, a Cy-Hawk moment from this year, which hurts. Another maybe topic for later in the show because, we've got Brendan Sullivan leading the charge now, and a lot of people are saying, well, what if we would have had him for those three games we lost? What would it look like? We'll talk about that. Penn State could not punch it in. They ran three plays, all run plays, could not do it, then ran a horrible pass play. And they ended up throwing it into triple coverage on fourth and goal. It had no shot, and Ohio State survives in Happy Valley.
I saw some tough stats for Penn State this weekend.
The stats,
there's a lot of insult stats going around out there.
Well, Franklin hasn't beat Ohio State in.
He hasn't really beaten anyone in the top five.
Right.
Like you could just make it an Ohio State thing, sure. But also, I saw like since 2000. Penn State and Vanderbilt have the exact same amount of top five wins.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this this year helped that.
I was gonna say, I think Vanderbilt got 100% of those this year. So.
It was, but that is.
What'd you think of James Franklin just getting in an argument with a guy dressed up as a Sopranos character after the game?
I was gonna ask you if you saw. Was it a guy or a kid? Well, I think a kid got in his face.
Well, a kid could be also a guy, but.
He is a guy. Well, if you,
I'm assuming it's a student. It's probably a grown man.
I believe it's a student.
Yeah.
I thought the student kind of stood there. Like, I mean, granted, when things happen in real life and not on Twitter, I think we saw this moment with Jason Kelsey this weekend, actually. It's interesting to see most of the time people who in that dynamic where it's the Division I head football coach versus just some random fan.
Yeah.
You're going to see like some people step back or like automatically walk away from the situation.
Not this guy.
This kid stood tall. Granted, he was behind a railing and he was up above him.
Still though, he saw all the cameras and the head coach of the team's in his face. Like he dominated James Franklin in that.
Yeah, he was coming after him hard and then Franklin had to answer questions about it post game. And I thought, from what I saw, I thought Franklin answered those questions like pretty honestly. He's like, yeah, hey, man, I get it. Like, he's frustrated. And there's some things that, you know, we're trying to do around here that we haven't been able to do.
There's never a moment where, like, he could have said it whatever he wanted. There's no defending post game after embarrassing loss, getting in an argument with a guy dressed up like he's in The Sopranos.
No, it's like the Matt Campbell thing.
There's just no explaining it.
It's like the
whatever you say. It's like what were you doing?
it wasn't as good though as Matt Campbell's at Ohio last year.
Well, gosh, I mean what that guy at Ohio did. I don't know his name. I don't know if it ever came.
Your ass is on the hot seat.
That was just the most perfect college football moment of all time. Like how he was able to get face to face with Matt Campbell either. Like there's just a thin rope in front of him.
Yeah.
Perfect moment.
And the best part is Campbell was past him and he reversed out and came back to him.
Yeah.
Just fiery.
I think a lot of the time too, though, that this guy is like looking like Paulie Walnuts, full tracksuit. It might be Halloween. And by the way, it's a like pseudo whiteout game. Penn State fan shows up wearing all black.
Yeah.
Not sure what his plan was, but
he's protesting until they beat a top. Great moment.
He was doing the fingers like 3 points inside the five, 3 points. like James just sitting there arguing with him, like, just a funny moment. But
inevitably, this was just a tough one for me. As Penn State was a +3.5, and if they're able to score and just tie that ball game at 20, it likely goes to overtime, I think.
I don't know, but the next drive, though, Ohio State just marched down the field. Like, Penn State never even got the ball back.
You're right.
Nothing was stopping them to begin with.
I think there's obviously still a chance that Penn State only loses by a field goal if they can somehow tie that game. So that one kind of died at the goal line there. Army couldn't get it done either. There was questions about their quarterback.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah.
I got an anonymous tip.
Oh.
Thursday.
Wow.
It just said, hey, insider tip, Bryson Daly's not playing.
Yeah, and that hurt when I saw that.
Yeah, I got some early access to info. I was like, is his season over? I was very scared. I was going back and forth.
And he's one of your Heisman guys.
He is. This might have killed it, if I'm being honest. But
yeah, you can't get hurt.
But hey, I mean, he's having a great season.
And for a service academy, if you've got a stud like that at either usually running back or quarterback, and he's not playing, that's going to significantly affect their ability to cover a spread. It was a 21. I know it was a 21.5 point spread. They win 20-3 or 21-3, so they do not cover
1 point. Yeah.
Yeah. So Penn State and Army losers for me. However, UCLA with an offensive explosion in Memorial Stadium. This game should have been over long before it was.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska got bailed out by unsportsmanlike conduct after unsportsmanlike conduct in the biggest moments of this UCLA-Nebraska game this weekend. This thing seriously should have been like 27-7 and just close the book. Good night. They made it a game, and Nebraska does ultimately end up not being able to make the comeback. Interception at the end there, kind of crazy off the guy's knee.
You're missing the most important part of this game, though.
I mean, Raiola got murdered.
No, this was the Gary and Tyler put our heads together pick of the week.
Well, two of them, right? Didn't we have the South Carolina as well? Both of these picks.
Yeah, and the over though hit with ease. It was good midway through the third. Like money. you weren't even stressing at all.
Money. We knew that, and we win. When we put our heads together, we win. And then we did it at South Carolina too. Not only did South Carolina cover Grant, they whooped ass.
Yeah, they dominated that game. Yeah, that was I love was it Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina. It is a blast there. Dude, what they got going on.
I'll tell you what, South Carolina is a good football team.
They're for their record, they're good. I think their defense has been really underrated this season.
I believe they're 6-3.
I want to say 5-3. I'm gonna be
five and three. They have three losses, right?
Yeah.
Somebody, I was a lot of online discussion this weekend of who's the, you know, I saw, I think I was in the, well, actually, I took a trip to the comment sections of several different fan bases just to see, you know, gauge the temperature.
As you should. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to gauge the temperatures.
Sure.
Minnesota has been on a nice little hot run basically since we went off in the third quarter against them.
Yeah.
And saw a Minnesota fan saying, well, if the refs would have just been on our side during the Michigan game and we didn't mess around with North Carolina in the first game of the year, we'd be 7-1 or 8-1. And then somebody beneath that was like, yeah, we're probably the best 3-win team in the country. And I was like, well, but the one game that you're like definitely chalking as a loss regardless is against another 3-loss team in the Hawkeyes.
No, Minnesota, they played well this weekend. They did a good job. And I do agree, though. They completely fumbled the bag against North Carolina earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And then
I went to this was a fun one. This one was healthy for me. Just fun stuff. I went to the team account always posts the final score, right? Doesn't matter what sport.
Sure. Yeah.
And when it's a loss in a big game,
it's not good.
People are just ready to tee off on those poor team account admins that are just there to tweet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fickle destruction underneath the Wisconsin final score tweet was tough. This guy is getting he's hot. He's what is this, a year and a half in? I think him and Rule both had their first year last year, correct?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I think you need to give Fickle at least another season. I think it's a little too early to pull the rug out from under him.
They were just terrorizing this guy, crushing him for his two coordinator hires, crushing him for the system that they're trying to run, crushing Wisconsin for running Leonard out of town. It was unbelievable.
And I understand their frustration for sure, because I do think they should be better than they are, if I'm just being totally honest.
I would agree.
I think they should be better by this point. And I think a large part of that is because I think Fickle's a good coach, right? But I also think for that same logic, if Fickle's a good coach, you shouldn't be trying to get him fired in November of his second year.
My thing is, at this point with the way college football is, I understand it has to happen fast. If it was up to me, I would say give a guy 4 years. I understand the landscape. I think I think that brings it down to okay, give him a minimum of three.
Yeah.
He needs three.
My thing is that four is good for a lot of coaches, but I think we with coaches and a lot of times quarterbacks too, I think it's so apparently obvious if this is the guy or not. This guy can coach, this guy can play.
Yeah.
So much earlier than we make it. I think some coaches, you can get a sense right away of this is just never going to work. And I think there's a little bit of it where it's okay, we made an investment, so we got to see how this pans out. Or you can just pull the rug out. I don't think Luke Fickle is that guy. I think you got to give Luke Fickle more of a chance. But there's coaches that get hired all the time where I'm four games in, it's so abundantly clear this will never work.
And I think some of the biggest indicators of that is oftentimes language of the players. Sure. a lot of it is culture based and sure. Sort of what you hear from assistant coaches, from guys on mm-hmm. the team. I'll tell you this, the new landscape of college football with the transfer portal, it doesn't help coaches. It doesn't help.
No.
Because now they see something like what Cignetti's doing at Indiana, or name whatever hot team each year that there is, and they're like, well, this guy just turned him around in 1 year. He just went straight to the portal and turned him around in 1 year. And now everybody else that has money, $100 million to pay some coach, they're like, all right, this is what we expect. You're going to turn us around in 1 or 2 years, because you don't have to go and get your guys and wait 2 to 3 years for them to develop, meaning you're going to be here for at least 4 years until we can give you a good pass or fail grade. They're like, no. Two years. You get 1 year, and that's your just base level cushion. And then in year two, if we're not seeing significant things out of you, people are looking for the next.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just performance indicated too. Everyone's year one or year two looks different, right? There's good performances and bad ones, right? If there's I mentioned, I think it's so much easier to tell this can build to something or it can't. Abundantly more clear than people make it.
How do you feel about, I know this is, we haven't talked any Iowa football yet. That'll be the back half of this show. But just going around the horn on the Big Ten here, how do you then feel about the really pretty embarrassing loss for the Huskers yesterday in the same sort of situation? That is a home game in a year where they were supposed to be significantly better. For a lot of this year, they looked like they could be an 8 or 9 win ball club. They are now going to fight for bowl eligibility in the last three games of their schedule. And
those
that is
not UCLA. Non-easy games.
No. I don't know if they'll be favored in any of them. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to absolutely beat this UCLA team at home. Is that just an outlier, or is that a little thing that Nebraska fans, in your opinion, would be okay, well, that is a performance indicator right there. That should have been.
Yeah, I think the issue Nebraska is there's two things with Nebraska, really. One, I do think Nebraska had vastly higher expectations than they should have this season.
Always do.
Right. And a little bit of it is where I think like I think Matt Rhule right now where it is, you can see improvements. So yeah. I Matt Rhule is not a guy where it's like, oh, I would pull the rug out from under him. I think that's ridiculous. Now, next year, if he's 5-7 again, then it's like, okay, maybe we fit something.
That's an issue. And we talked about this with Searles before the season, right? We sat down and Searles was like, yeah, our fan base, some of the psychos out there, they really think that like 10 wins is the floor here. That's Nebraska just fans. That's just Nebraska fans being Nebraska fans. Searles, I think, said he thought 8 was great.
That would be amazing. In the middle of a bowl game, 8 would be fantastic.
I personally, on the outsider, my opinion was and still is, if they make a bowl game in year 2, that's a win.
Yeah, it's improvement. You can see things are developing.
And then 7-7, which is possible. Mm-hmm. Who do they have left? Like Oregon, Wisconsin, and us?
It's USC, Wisconsin.
USC, Wisconsin, and us.
Yeah. See, that's another thing, though. Like, if I'm a Nebraska fan, I feel like, in terms of two programs I feel better about, Nebraska moving forward than do USC.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. But it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's gonna love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
I was just going to say, is Lincoln Riley on the hot seat?
He's been on the hot seat since he was at Oklahoma. I don't understand why we keep seeing the same Lincoln Riley thing over and over and over again. And we assume that come August of every year, we're like, oh, top 10, maybe it'll be different this year. And it's just the same thing over and over again. How did this happen? He has a great QB and no defense again. Do we have any evidence of this in other years?
Did a couple great quarterbacks just make his career? Because Baker?
He had like Baker, Kyler. He had all these guys. Caleb. Like, he's a undeniably good offensive QB coach. But sometimes the safeties just get burnt.
Sometimes everybody on your defense just isn't good. So it is what it is.
But yeah, no, Nebraska, to answer your question though, as a whole, I think from watching Nebraska this year and last year, like, this team is better than last year's Nebraska team.
I would agree with that, yes.
And I will say this, though, also. It would be so funny if Matt Rhule got hired at Florida after this season.
Is that one of those Matt Rhule could do the funniest things?
It would be very funny, is all I'm going to say. And, like, my thing with Nebraska, I've said this a million times. A lot of people like to dog on them and stuff. I genuinely – like, Nebraska is such a broken – program. Oh. It is so sad at times over there. I don't even like to jab at them or anything. It's not even fun. It's just like, I just want to see, like, Nebraska, I just feel bad. That's all.
In the last 3 years, and that includes the year that they beat us, which I think was it 22? One of the years they beat us was the last 2 years. I think it was 2 years ago they beat us. It was almost like you don't even want to, like, be mad or sad or talk shit to them when they did that, because you're like, okay, it's just like they got one, you know, like it.
And I've always been the guy too, where I've never seen Nebraska as Iowa's main rival. I just haven't. And either. I know either some people think, like, if you're just Nebraska, you can do whatever you want. Like, for me, it's just not right. Cause like they were newer to the Big Ten. Like, they came in, and I don't know, like, it'll build to it. And like, there was obviously previous stuff there, but I mean, like, I think for me personally, like, Iowa State is the number one rival for Iowa. That's just how I view it. And my last thing about the Nebraska before we move on from this subject, I hope Rayola is okay, because I'd never root for injuries regardless of the team or anything. And I think Rayola is a fun player.
He is. He brings some fun certainly to that. And he's definitely a very young, mm-hmm. talented player. Yeah. Anyway, all of that was a roundabout to say that the Nebraska UCLA over hit, mm-hmm. South Carolina plus 2.5 hit. Your boy
goes, longest betting segment ever.
Your boy goes 3-2. We stay, you know, that's 60% on the weekend. I improved to 22-16, mm-hmm. and Grant and I hit our two combo bets, which feels real good. We got to do more of that, obviously, going forward. Gary, you, I don't know what you went, but you're still positive.
I believe we went 8-4.
That's good.
At which we started out horrible. I was very nervous. I was looking at when we went 0-5 to start recently,
yeah,
like 2 weeks ago. And I tweeted out, I was like, we got 0-6 on the table right now this week. It's not off the table. It looks very likely. But luckily, we had some great bounce back moments. Like Syracuse came back from down like 21-3 to win in overtime.
Wow.
Great moment. Purdue, boy, they should have won. They just egregious coaching. Going for it on like 4th-and-7 in overtime. When they had the ball first, instead of kicking the field goal, Northwestern went and scored a touchdown anyway the next drive to win it, which would have lost it anyway. But I just – decision like that, it's like you deserve to lose. Why are you doing this? I don't understand. But, yeah, we had a lot of great ones otherwise. Like South Carolina was great. Miami, cover of the century, the millennium.
That was crazy.
They were down 11 at one point to Duke, and I was like, this is just the worst bet of all time. This is going nowhere. Then 16 minutes later, they were up 21. It was one of the most insane things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So that Miami offense, so you can just never know what to expect. But yeah, and then obviously the combo, Gary and Tyler play over 40. Great. And what else do we have on here? Oh, yeah, Texas Tech.
Wow.
I looked at this week and I said, Iowa State, it's been fun, but I'm tired of this. I cannot I'm done with this. And now in the Big 12. And I put Texas Tech on here, and I willed them to victory myself in a hard watch.
No. Actually, no, Greg, you did not.
How? How are you going to tell me no? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Did. Or maybe you did, and it was clairvoyant through me, because I have an incredible story to tell you that is verified by multiple people.
Yeah.
By the way, you said you zig, I zag the other day when you took that plus 13.5.
Yeah.
Friday night, I had a dream. And I found myself, and this is one of those dreams that you kind of like wake up the next morning. You're not immediately thinking about it because nothing was special, right? But then you kind of remember it, like as you're moseying around the first couple hours of your day, and like, huh, that's weird. Mm-hmm. About 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, I looked at my wife and I said, "You know what? I just remembered I had a dream last night, and it was that Iowa State lost to Texas Tech today by 1 point."
You see, I incepted you.
And that is no bullshit, Grant. My wife can tell you that I told way before that game was ever played. And then I was with my family. I told them the same thing because the Iowa State game came up. This is before they ever took the field. I had a dream that Iowa State lost by 1 point. Texas Tech, the Red Raiders, baby.
They win by one.
They win by one.
I clearly incepted your brain.
And I think I was
into your dreams from our show on Wednesday. I invaded your dreams like an inception.
And it happened, dude. And I never have dreams about football games. Like I don't, especially like a specific score. That is, there are some things that happen in life where it's just like, wow, that is very, very weird. That was one of them. Iowa State, perfect season, down the drain. And I said this to my mom and brother the other day. They were there as that game was finishing up. And I just looked at them, and my mom was like, you know, this Iowa State season has kind of reminded me of your guys' 2015 season. Like, you play a bunch of these opponents, the strength of schedule is just not great, but you're still stepping up every single week, finding ways to win. People forget, we had a couple close calls in that season that are more than just the ones you remember, right? Like, we had, obviously, the very close loss to Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship. We barely slipped out of Wisconsin 10-6. We barely got by Indiana. Indiana was a high power offense that year. I think we won like, oh God, it's in my office right here, like 40-36 or something weird like that. Minnesota at the end, we had LaShawn Daniels go down. Kevin always says go down. Otherwise, our defense couldn't stop anything that day. Dude, Maryland came to town in like week 7 of that year. And we needed a Desmond King Thorpe Award pick 6. To distance ourselves and a blocked punt in the end zone in that game. Purdue, I guess, was never really in doubt. Nebraska was never really in doubt. We were down to like our fourth running back in Akron in the Northwestern game, and they went off in that game. Like, we just had a bunch of stuff go our way. Iowa State has had that going for them all year, and then the UCF game happened, and you're like, oh boy, it's like they're holding on by a thread. And then Texas Tech came in, and they got it done. And now, not only does the Big 12, or does the Iowa State look at the rest of their schedule and think, oh man, well, now we don't. When you're riding that wave of perfection, you're just like, okay, it's just win the next game, and we're just going to be undefeated. Then when you lose and you're proven to be mortal, it's someone comes out there and says, okay, 60 minutes, we take you down. Now the rest of them feel even more in doubt than they were before. And the Big 12 race has now become an absolute, it's a cluster.
Yeah, I mean, I've said from when they announced the new Big 12, you could just look at it like, this will be so fun every single week. Like, it'll be the most fun conference by far, which I think it has been. And Iowa State, to their credit, as much as this loss stings and it sucks, and some are saying I willed Texas Tech to victory myself from my living room, but
many are saying
Iowa State can still get to the Big 12 championship. Like, if they just handle their business, they still control.
Yeah, they went out and they're still there.
Because Kansas State also laid just the biggest egg of all time
to Houston.
Who's, to be fair, Houston is so much better than the original team they wheeled out there. They get different quarterback is now playing for them. I think Willie Fritz is a good coach for what it means, but
okay,
he's just developing his new program, right?
Yeah.
That being said, though, Kansas State should handle them anyway. And I'm considering next week, and I'll have to think about it, but Iowa State goes to Kansas next week, and I might have to do it again.
We'll see. We'll see how much will you have in you to potentially get the Jayhawks over the top.
Yeah. And also, my last point until we can talk about the game. I cannot, between Arizona and UCF, I think I've picked them either in this or whatnot, like seven times this season and been on the wrong side every single time. And they played each other this weekend. Flip a coin as to which one. Arizona got the absolute break speed off of them.
Yeah.
Was never close. I might have to cross out both those teams on the list.
they're done. They're forever banned.
I can't get them right. I have no clue what team.
I would say stay away from that game. Stay away from it. We'll finish this first half hour of the show with the Premier Automotive Collision of the Week. I don't know if you have any nominees, Grant. I've got a couple. The boys were banging on Saturday night. There were some hits.
Yeah, the field mics for NBC were top notch, I feel like, this weekend.
My favorite, and there was a lot of them, my favorite of the night was Xavier Wampa, again, coming up on that tight end sort of in the flat and just sort of cutting him down. And it was a solid tackle. I think he put him on his head even. He kind of like literally folded him in half. There was several other good ones. Pick basically any play from the game and just say Jay Higgins, and he probably hit somebody. Maybe the most fancy finesse collision of the game was the ball off of Nick Jackson's foot.
Yeah, a little FIFA skills there.
You were very excited about that on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, is it wrong for me to be excited about a creative interception? Is that
no? Okay. It was amazing. Some are saying illegal to do that. I saw.
Oh yeah, kickball violation. Yeah, that would be basketball starts Monday, but we'll be I'll be following that closely as well. Someone suggested to me a collision of the game on Twitter. I'm trying to find it. I don't remember what exactly it was, but I did.
By the way, Hawkeye Jesus, who told us to bet on the Hawks because the quarterback for Wisconsin sucks fat cock. He tweeted at, I believe, you and I again during the game after that interception to Deshaun Lee. What a play by Lee, by the way. And he just tweeted at us, fat cock. That's all he said. As to reinforce that Braden Locke sucks fat cock. So, you know, this is the walk-ons. You get into the second half of the show, you get the sort of not safe for work. Hawkeye, he told us it was coming, and he was right. Yeah. But
the one that was suggested to me, though, was Nick Jackson leveling the center on a chop block. By Coach Block was suggested to me.
How about it?
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of good ones, and I don't know if
it's a collision either, but Max Llewellyn was getting to the quarterback this game. If that's it, we are just near collision course moments of the week, then I'd give a couple to Max Llewellyn as well.
Do you remember the spin move they highlighted when he got to him?
Yeah.
Great play. like a really, really clean spin move. Like, good for you, Max.
He's really good at that. He's had like three of those this year where he just super clean swim.
Do you want to know what my wife said when he got that sack or whatever? He goes, oh, Grant's a big fan of that Max Llewellyn guy, isn't he? Llewellyn. And I was like, ooh. I was like, wow, you really listen to the podcast, don't you? She's like, yeah, I listen. He likes that Max kid.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to, I've been trying to fire up Max for a couple weeks now. I mean, I'm laying the groundwork, right?
I think he's firing himself up. He's making big plays. Yeah, this was, we'll get into it here as we enter the back half. And I don't even know if we'll go for a full hour here.
We got some material. Don't worry.
We definitely have some material. I think just overall, Grant, it just feels good to win by 30 points. I mean, like 42-10, Iowa takes down the Wisconsin Badgers. This was supposed to be a close game. I talked about it last week as a potential classic. It could be a clash, you know, like an old school Wisconsin-Iowa game that I played in a decade ago. But it was not. It was not of any such. It was far and away just an ass beating, belt to ass, belt to Badger ass, and it felt good to be on the winning side.
Yeah, I think the issue with the classic is that we've kind of gotten away from it, which is unfortunate. Where in our preview episode talked about how it feels like Wisconsin and Iowa are very like mirror programs. Where I think it's tougher for now this game to be instant classic either way, Wisconsin or Iowa. Taking it just because Wisconsin doesn't play the exact same brand of football as Iowa does anymore.
Well, and you know, who knows with a dual threat quarterback who's making people miss in the open field. I mean, Brendan Sullivan, you dirty dog.
No, I was like, oh my, did I just see an Iowa quarterback juke out a receiver in the, or a defender in the middle of the field? I was like, check him out, pull string.
Not only did he juke out that guy at the end of the play, like the safety, but he like slip juked the D end and put him on the ground and like went up, cut up inside. It was a double. I mean, what this kid is what this kid did Saturday and what he did in the back half of the Northwestern game. It's something to seriously talk about and consider here. But yeah, this, I mean, just run away. What I was saying was when we have this kind of quarterback and we have Tim Lester as the new OC, who knows where he extends this offensive playbook. There's a chance Iowa football really isn't going to look like the Iowa football of old, too, right?
No. Well, I think as long as you have – I think as long as Ferentz is at the helm, right, you'll still have the tastes of Iowa. But it could be presented differently.
And I'll say this. When you have a game like this – I've got the box score pulled up right here. When you have a game like this where Iowa has almost 400 yards of offense and 300 – or what did we have, actually?
It was like 329 rushing yards or something like that.
Yeah, so we actually did have – we had 423 yards of offense, and 330 of them are rushing. That's – I don't care what kind of rushing plays or pre-snap motions you're running. You run for 330, it's going to feel like old-school football, old-school Iowa football. Caleb Johnson, by the way.
Let's talk about him.
This guy. 24 carries, 135 yards, 3 touchdowns. Got me feeling nicey. That's a stat line. That's a stat line you look for. Their running back, by the way, 7 carries for 50 yards, which actually is pretty good. But
well, no, Caleb's just having a great season. I mean,
unbelievable season.
What do you want me to say?
And I did a little digging on where he's starting to climb into the all time ranks for Iowa.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Crazy enough, he is still, having played the last 3 years and having an all-time season where he is potentially going to push for 1,800-plus yards in one season, his current career rushing total still does not crack the top 10 by just 30 yards. He is about to pass Tyler Goodson next game. I think he has just over 2,500 yards right now. Tyler Goodson has like 2,550, and crack the top 10 in career rushing.
What week did he get injured last year? Like, how many games did he even end up playing?
I don't know, week 7 or 8, maybe.
Oh, okay.
All right. Does that feel right?
I feel like he got hurt earlier, but
maybe it was before that. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, well, maybe if it's like a per game basis, it might be a little different than just...
Well, and that's what gets interesting is when you start to look at per attempt, it starts to get like, you're like, wow, this guy is rattling off yards. As far as total touchdown goes, I believe he has, oh God, I missed it. 28 touchdowns. Does that sound right? Or he's 20
right now? Or like in his career?
Career total touchdowns. Okay. I think he has 28.
I was like, he's having a good season. We ain't had 28 touchdowns on the season yet.
He's at 19. He's at 19, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is one away from the single season record, which was Sean Green, 20?
I'd be shocked if it wasn't, if I'm being totally honest.
And he's going to break that easily. I would be shocked, honestly, if he didn't get to 25 at this point. If he didn't get two a game for the next, well, I mean, he's got four games because the Iowa Hawkeyes are bowl eligible as of right now, 6-3. They will be traveling somewhere for the holidays for a bowl game, maybe the Pop-Tart Bowl. Who knows?
I don't think Big Ten teams go to that.
No, I don't think so either, but it would be cool.
The playoff shifts it up a little bit, though, just because there's now different playing games. So I don't actually know what it's 100% going to look like.
Yeah. As far as the single season, I think he's somewhere – I ran the stats on his single season rushing record, and I know there was a quote out there somewhere that said that a couple weeks ago Sean Green was in town and he talked to Caleb and he said, hey, man, go break that record. I know you can do it, so go do it, which is really cool to hear like an old school, like, you know, the guy who holds the record, he's the placeholder to tell the young buck like, hey, go get it, man. That's so like that just fires me up. If Caleb were to average for the next four games, three regular season and bowl game, does he play a bowl game in this day and age? Who knows?
I think with Iowa's history, I would go yes.
It's better than most teams. He would fall like 9 yards short if he were to average his current average for the next four games, which means he's like basically right on. He would end, I think the record's like 1859, and he would end up with like 1851 or something like that. So he just has, I think it's 145 yards a game, and he'll get it, and he's going to break the touchdown record. He's going to end up probably top five all-time career rushing yards. This kid is and this kid's going to do it in 3 years. And a lot of these guys have 4 years of play under their belt. We were asked and tagged on Twitter, Grant, who's RB1, Sean Green or Caleb Johnson? And I'll be honest, I think it's Caleb Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that too. Part of me just wants to see the season actually play out for one, just to, you know, for credit to Sean Green, and then also two, just to not jinx Caleb Johnson. I believe sure. In jinxes, and I feel like if as soon as we start anointing him a little bit potentially too early, like, I don't want to piss off the college football gods or anything. So,
right.
But I would say, I mean, if we're on pace for something, Caleb Johnson's having a pretty good career, going to turn out to be a pretty good career running back for Iowa.
He's top two running backs all time at Iowa, and it's he might not be two by the end of it. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Got a fun quote. I'd love to pull up for you to pull up those Genty thoughts here.
Okay.
Because I want to sort of compare. Yeah. But I had a fun quote from Fickell after the game. This is just the kind of thing that gets you fully tented as an Iowa fan when you're the team that just beat this team into submission. Quote from Fickell: this was kind of your worst nightmare, to be overtaken, manhandled, and dominated, especially in the second half. Hey, you come to Kinnick at night, you're asking for the woodshed. You're asking to get bent over and paddled, okay? You don't come to Kinnick at night. You just don't do it. Wisconsin decided to do it, and they got, you know, rewarded for that. Here's your consequences. It is what it is.
Wisconsin's gotten a couple the night treatment at Iowa. Well, I feel like a decent amount recently.
I
don't know if that's on purpose or not, but
I think that's three in a row over the Badgers.
Ooh. Okay, hold on. We can do this. All right. So this year, last year, the year before that. Yeah. Okay.
2022.
We lost them in 2021.
And we beat them in 2020.
We did.
We beat them 24-10.
2020.
Yeah, we beat them 24-10 in 2022. We beat them 15-6 last year. We just whooped them this year. And in 2020, we beat them in the like snow game. I remember that was the game where Tyler Goodson broke down the closer sideline to the broadcast, and Tyler Linderbaum was running alongside with him for like 70 yards. I'm pretty sure that was the Wisconsin game. So in the new era, in the 20s, in the the raging 20s or whatever?
It was the roaring 20s.
The roaring.
In 1920, this could be the raging 20s.
This is the raging 20s of Iowa football versus Wisconsin. We are 4 out of 5 in the 20s. Dude, that means the seniors that came onto this team right now, all they basically know is beating Wisconsin. They're 4 out of 5. That's how I felt when we were there. That's what I did to Minnesota, Iowa State, and Nebraska. I was 4-1 against all those teams.
It's not bad.
And so every year we would play those games. But versus Wisconsin, we were 1-4.
Well, most importantly now, that's 4 in a row. 5 in a row for the old toolbox game.
Oh, hey, how about it?
Also very important trophy, though.
Another game that was seemed never in question. Those boys ran away with that thing, too.
Boy, that was I didn't get to see every single moment of the game. I'm being totally honest, right? It's busy Friday night. When I was watching it, though, one of our managers had like a Riley Moss-esque play, interception. Awesome. Threw it up on Twitter. I was like, give this kid some flowers for an awesome moment. But yeah, it just sounds like they just took him to the woodshed a little bit, which is great to hear.
Those games are always all over the place, and crazy things happen in them because you're just like, you know, it's flag football. Like they're playing, but they're playing it really hard, and they've got good athletes.
It was getting like feisty.
It always gets feisty. It always gets feisty. So fun to see them dominate, and that was sort of a precursor for what happened on Saturday night. So two huge wins, toolbox and the Heartland Trophy. The Bull comes home. The Bull, by the way, we were asked this in the Discord. Someone asked if it was a true to character, if it was a bull or just a steer visually. Mm-hmm. The Bull Trophy does not have a set of nuts on it. Now, is that a miss by the original trophy creator? I think so. I think that thing should have a big old set of balls on it. But that thing goes to the state fair. It's in a ton of pictures in the newspaper the next day as the winning team hoists it off the field. It would be tough for there'd be a lot of conversations with young kids about, you know, hey, what's that under his belly? You know, in the picture as they carry, like, you know, oh, that's his nut. You know, like that's his nuts. So every kid's got to learn sometime.
Got to blur it out on the TV broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be graphic. They'd have to add some ratings on that. Caleb Johnson or Ashton Jeanty, Grant?
It's a good question. I don't know. I'm happy that Caleb Johnson's on my team. Can I say that? I'm fine with that. I think as a whole, as a college football picture, I think unfortunately Ashton Jeanty might be out of the Heisman official in terms of winning the award.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really tough for him to do that at this point just because he hasn't had like the 5 touchdowns a game that he was having earlier in the season. He's hurt now. He wears a huge brace on one of his arms, and teams in his conference, it now feels like are more set on just stopping Ashton Jeanty from winning the Heisman. They are actually beating Boise State a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that's unfortunate. Do I think Ashton Jeanty is still a great player? Yes. Is he having still one of the best running back seasons that anyone's had in college football? Yes. At the same time, though, Caleb Johnson is also doing that. And I don't think Caleb Johnson is getting the love that he deserves from the national media. I feel like we give him a lot of love. I don't think he's getting the true love that he deserves. And you can see, like, I pulled some stuff, right? So you have both, like, Caleb Johnson right now, over 1,200 yards, 19 touchdowns, averaging 7.5 yards per carry. Ashton Jeanty has over 1,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 8 flat yards per carry. Very similar. And the big debate with these two is like, like strength of schedule stuff, like who's the better opponent stuff. I did some other research. Iowa has the 21st strength of schedule right now, which this is for team rankings. I think they do good stuff. They do adjusted strength of schedule.
So that's current.
Changes every week, which, by the way, I wanted to point out. We start out with the 91st.
I was going to say, our strength of schedule is not good, really, to start the year, but 21st is crazy.
We started out at 91st to start the season. So
makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, so and that could change easily by the end of the season.
Well, and to be honest,
it changes every week.
So a team that's carrying a large part of that load is Iowa State.
Well, there I was going through some other stats that weren't as friendly to Iowa State as I thought they were going to be. Because I was hoping that I was like to make myself feel better about that game, and then Iowa State had some other flaws and inconsistencies. Wow. But Boise State is 51st in strength of schedule, and then sure. I went and did. They didn't have a
better than I would have expected for them too.
But then I compiled just the average rush defense rankings.
Okay.
For them, Boise's played one less game, so there is that. But
yep.
Their average rush defense is 73rd, and then Iowa's is 57th. And then each of us played a FCS team, which isn't included in the rankings. But so just for that, just to look out. And then, I don't know, I feel like stats aren't really everything as well when you're looking at the awards. Like sometimes you can just see like, okay, like maybe he doesn't have the best stats, but I think this player's just better. But I did want to just present that to the table for the people that are like strength of schedule stuff. I think like Iowa's strength of schedule and also rush defense stuff, it was better than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. When I looked into it, like I didn't think our strength schedule was going to be as high on team rankings. When I looked at it, the rush defense thing, I thought it was going to be maybe a little bit lower.
I thought that might be better. Yeah.
But it still would favor Caleb in that sense. And I think there's still time left in the season. Now, all of this taken into consideration as well. Ashton's been in the conversation ever since he had 6 touchdowns week 1, right? He's been there firmly. Caleb is only 1 touchdown behind. His yards per carry is almost identical. Strength schedule is better. And I think he has the attention of the media, but he's very much outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think you're going to find him in a lot of people's top fives for the Heisman. He would be in mine, personally. But then I also looked for this. So, like, Derrick Henry, through 9 games in his 2015 Heisman season, had less rushing yards and less touchdowns than Caleb Johnson does right now. But Derrick Henry, obviously, won the Heisman Trophy.
Played for Bama,
but there's also, I mean, like they played Wisconsin that year.
I love the meme of his stats in high school, college, mm-hmm. and the pros.
Yeah.
And then the people underneath are like, criminal, what his high school coach was doing to him.
Right. Like, how did he not break it right?
And there's some games where he was carrying the ball 45, 50 times a game in high school.
That's insane.
It was unbelievable. Can you blame him?
If you're a coach, and you have Derrick Henry on your team, like, in high school football?
Yeah, like, is it malpractice in coaching to not give Derrick Henry the ball when you have him on your team? Everybody would be like, dude, you have Derrick Henry. Why are we not handing it to
you
him?
You can look at the statue and be like, dude, I don't know if this 16-year-old can handle 55 carries a game. But then you go look over and it's like, oh, I thought that was a 25-year-old man.
Yeah, that looks like a current NFL running back. I think he'll be fine.
I thought that was an NFL running back. But yeah, I just think it's interesting that both of these guys, too, are on pace to have better seasons than Derrick Henry and different years, so do what you will.
Yeah.
And I don't think either of them are really doing well enough in the Heisman conversation right now.
It is unfortunately like a quarterback race often.
It is very much. And also, I still stand by Christian McCaffrey should have won the Heisman 2015 as well.
But like, not even close, far and away, yes. I want to shift this last 10 minutes to other things, other talking points that we can take away from this Iowa-Wisconsin game and where Iowa has brought themselves to right now, 6-3 this season.
Sure.
Okay. Obviously, the big one, Grant, Brendan Sullivan got the start. I think most people would tell you that they're pleased with Brendan Sullivan's performance the other day. I think most people, and I'm included in this category, would tell you that what he did on Saturday, but also in the Northwestern game, not just on the stat sheet, which, by the way, if we can run it for we're not going to do this all year or all the time, right? This isn't like the formula we want. We don't want to get 450 yards a game and hope that we can go for 300 to 350 rushing every time. You need to be able to throw the ball more than this. But for where we are right now, 7 of 10 for 93 yards, 70% for 93 yards with a touchdown. And oh, by the way, if you go to the rushing stats, the guy ran for like, let me find this. The guy ran for 6 yards a carry as a quarterback.
That's pretty good. How many attempts, though?
9 carries for 58 yards.
I did find myself just sitting back. This could just be dumb brain of me, but I'm sitting back watching this game. Every time that he broke something out, I would just be instantly like, God, he's just fast. He's just quick.
On the one where he found the end zone at the end, where he ran in for like, it was towards the end of the game. He got vertical quick, dude.
He's not afraid of contact either, which.
No, he wants it.
I don't know if I love that as a quarterback, like especially with, in this game where
not,
we have
not with
like,
how many people we have backup running backs taking reps in pregame.
Yeah, it's like I don't know if this is the time for that, Brennan, but I do like that he's not afraid of contact and fighting for extra yards.
I think there was a lot of people who said, "Oh, Kirk is." I don't think I saw this all over the place. Oh, now Kirk's going to just shut him down and tell him you are not running the ball. No, he had 10 real rushes, 9 real rushes for 58 yards. And he was seeking contact. He was seeking the end zone. The QB sneak on the one, just jamming him in the back, just shove that guy in there for a tutter.
Shout out Hayden Large on that play.
Oh, yeah.
And then there with the big push.
And speaking of a push, the offensive line dominated the line of scrimmage in this game like I've not seen in a very long time.
Yeah, outside of the very strange first two drives that were just the penalty contest.
What a weird thing.
Great performance by our O-line. And I don't know how much of the beginning of the game was the refs trying to establish hey, we're gonna keep this one tight with you fellas. All right. We're gonna show you, we're gonna make this about us right now. All right. This ain't about you players.
Listen here.
Even both ways, I was like, what are we doing? Can we just get on with the game?
Oh my God, it was so annoying. I've never seen a penalty for I forgot what they even dubbed it. Like too fast of a shift.
Yeah, it was something weird.
Abrupt shifting.
Yeah, they're going deep into the ref pockets for.
Dude, we're making up calls now. That shit was unbelievable.
It got better throughout the game, but the first two drives, and I feel like, dude, just to be fair, for both Iowa and Wisconsin, I was like, what are we even doing here? This is just.
Ridiculous. Yeah, it was really annoying. Just let the players play. So Brennan Sullivan obviously had a great game. Was very efficient. We'll get back to him in a second. KJ went off. He's Superman. He's literally a Heisman quality player. The offensive line getting a crazy push. We had several nice completions. Jacob Gill had a nice catch. We're missing Reese Vandersee. We're missing Luke Lachey. This Ortworth guy, this tight end.
Dog.
Defensively, we're all over the place. We're wreaking havoc. Our secondary was flying all around. We looked great in the all-black uniforms, by the way. And here's the conversation. It's like, okay, so Brendan's the starter, right? And then you just don't know. Like, is Kirk going to be like, well, Cade's back. He shouldn't lose his spot because of an injury. You know, like we were happy with what he was doing before. I'll put it out there right now. And everyone knows I love Kirk Ferentz. If Kirk runs Cade out there as the starter against UCLA on Friday night, there's nothing I can say or even I can't justify that. If you can't see with your own two eyes what Brennan Sullivan, by the way, with control of the offense, being able to extend into the playbook, right? Because you have to be able to run the rest of the playbook for that running ability to be scary on the opposite side of it and the defense having to worry about both. Again, I don't know if he could have done that versus Iowa State. He'd been there for about 6 weeks at that point. Michigan State, maybe. Michigan State's a game where we can look at and say, maybe we should have played Brennan Sullivan there. That one would have changed. I there's nothing for me to defend if he runs out Cade and he's like, yeah, after what we just saw with Brendan, we'll throw Cade back out there.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. I will say, whoever is a starter, I will defend them to the death, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But I do agree. And here's what I would I'd say to that is the most I can compare this to is I believe in the 2021 season, there was a similar moment where Alex Padilla becomes a starter and Spencer went down. It was a concussion, but it was like an oblique injury or a rib injury or something like that.
He got hurt. Yeah.
He was hurt, but also people were like, oh, Alex earned the spot a little bit too, right? It felt very similar to what we've been seeing recently. And then as much as people were like, oh, Spencer's ready to go, Alex had that spot until he lost it.
Yeah.
Like, Alex played the whole game against Wisconsin. I think he ended up losing it in the Big Ten Championship after we were just getting thumped by Michigan. But
sounds about right.
But no, I would assume that it's Sullivan's spot until he loses it.
Yes. All of that being said, everything I just prefaced that with, I do believe that Kirk goes with Brendan. It's just so clear. What he does with his with the chance that he might pull it and this little RPO stuff that we got going. And I like when he, I honestly like when he puts his foot in the ground and goes to sling that thing. I mean, he can throw that. The pass down the middle of the field to Ortworth down the seam. He even had a couple incompletions that were like, oh my God, he is cooking.
It seems like he gets more comfortable after like the fourth or fifth pass.
Yes.
In the past two games. It's a small sample size, but
he said this, he legitimately needs to get hit. And then he feels like, okay,
first one's on the house. That's what I think. Yeah. I think George Kittle does that. I think he said that he puts his helmet on, and like smashes his head into a locker. Because the first hit hurts the most. So you got to get that one out of the way.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, you know, obviously we'd love to see Brendan Sullivan going forward. We'd love to see this, this offense continue. If you just take a look at our five or six wins here, Grant, 40, 38, 31, 40, 40, 42. Dude, when we win a football game right now, we're averaging like 38 points a game.
Which is crazy, because if you told me we're averaging 38 points per game in July, I would have said we had potential to be undefeated this year.
Saw a sweet saw an awesome tweet from Chad Lysico today that, you know, Tim Lester's whole thing was like, we'd like to cut the ratings in half. We'd like to cut the rankings offensively in half. And while we total yardage are not there, scoring offense, we are exactly doubling up what we did last year. We're scoring 30.8 points per game when you then factor in those three losses, because we had 19, 7, and 20. That is exactly double what we scored last year per game at 15.4, just an abysmal 132nd in the country. This year, currently right now, we're tied for 41st in scoring offense in the country.
Jeez.
Dude.
Wow.
Come on now. Yeah.
Well, what's crazy too is I feel like not enough people are, and this, again, you could factor this into the Caleb Johnson for Heisman or Doak Walker Award conversation. Could you imagine last year after that Minnesota game where you just couldn't move the ball an inch? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, we would have won that game if we kneeled the ball every play. Like that's when, how bad it was out there. Right.
When Cooper's thing got overturned.
Yeah.
Everyone knew, God damn it, that's tough, because we are not going to be able to move it 10 yards to get this field goal.
Like, bottom of the bottom. Right. If someone told you, like, hey, a year from exactly right now, one of the running backs on this team is going to be one of the best in the country. He's going to have a better average than Derrick Henry's Heisman season.
Yep.
He's going to probably break all Sean Green's records, right? And that Iowa's going to be averaging 38 points per game, or whatever it was.
31 points per game, 38 to win.
38 to win. I would have been
every single Hawkeye fan out there is like, sign me up right now. Don't care what the record is. Yes, 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 yes. Double star, yes.
Also, while we're talking about it, do you remember, this could be, I don't want to put us on old takes exposed, but I believe while we're talking about Brennan, actually, like, as a quarterback, opening up what we do on offense, being actually genuinely very fast, juking defenders, as crazy as it sounds, right? I think this is good. I think the week that it was like Deacon is going to start this game, whatever, after Michigan State, I think we were talking about him like very similarly. It's like, I think Deacon might be able to open up some things with his feet.
Hey, Deacon can get this thing going, man.
And I love Deacon still, but he would admit to you too that probably Brent Holman is faster than him.
Sneaking Deacon. I mean, thank the guy. Like, props to the guy for stepping in and just like, the reality is he's not a Division I football talent. He's not a Big Ten football quarterback. But he stepped up and he played that role and he freaking answered questions and he took the flack and he just did it.
Hey, and the reality is too, Deacon Hill won the Big Ten West. That dude went to the Big Ten championship game.
You're goddamn right. Goddamn right.
Say what you will, man. But I just thought that was funny. As I'm watching Brennan run out there, and it's the first, like, CJ was not the slowest quarterback of all time, but he wasn't as fast as Brennan is, right?
No.
And as I'm like, wow, this guy actually can really move in the open field if he gets some space. I was like, I think the last time we talked about an upgrade at mobile QB might have been Deacon Hill. Which I don't know. I don't know if we dove into it too much. And I think part of it was like, Cade is clearly hurt.
Yeah. It was like, the issue with him was he was somehow more mobile than Cade. And it was only because Cade had turtled it up so much because of his injury that Cade wouldn't even try to escape the pocket, let alone go across the line of scrimmage. And so, yes, somehow Deacon Hill was a better mobile quarterback at the time. This is a completely different situation, obviously. But the fact that you bring it up is really, really funny. And that's unbelievable. So I have nothing else. This is what
Can we just do? You want to have just a sicko moment of the week?
I'd love that.
I believe in Division II.
Okay.
A team that was 0-8 beat the number one team in the country this weekend.
No way. What?
I believe that is what I saw.
That's unbelievable.
It was like the upset of the century.
I think I saw that. I think I saw that clip come across my feed too.
Someone said it to me because it was a team that just beat the number one team in the country. Yeah. And this is from Athlon. 8-0 college football team was upset by a winless opponent on Thursday. Who was in the Nazarene University entered Thursday night's game as the number three team in the country and lost as a 46-point favorite.
Oh my God.
According to ESPN Plus, there's no lines in Division II. But like Bill Conley, who we've talked about on Taglines, go listen on Patreon. He does he calculates a spread. Yep. For every team that plays football, not just D1, like Division III, NAIA, all of that. And this would have had them as a 46-point underdog, and they won outright 18-17.
Dear Lord.
Sweet.
That is incredible.
Oh, wait. I don't know when else to squeeze that in, but college basketball starts tomorrow. Our Hawks are playing at 6, Big Ten Plus. Owen Freeman, breakout season. It's happening.
You heard it here first. That is it. We are so happy to have you each and every day of the week, because we do bring daily podcasts on the Walk On feed. Especially if you're a Patreon member, it's quite literally Monday through Friday. And if you're not, then you just don't get the Tuesday one. Patreon.com/WashUpWalkOns. You'll hear the spiel when we go out here. We're about a month away from the time where we donate that money. It's like after championship weekend is when I usually sit down to donate that money. It continues to grow. We got people like Colin S. I won't say the last name to dox people, but Colin S. just signed up as a new legend status Patreon member. You can actually find that if you are on the YouTube video right here. You can join the army up in the corner. Snap a pic of that QR code. We appreciate you guys, the ones who support the army and who support this cause just moving forward. We stand on your legs. We stand on your shoulders and your legs. You have strong legs, and we appreciate those strong legs.
Legs feed the wolf, baby.
They feed the walk-ons. We'll talk to you guys next time. Till then, peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.